While the Earth's climate has changed throughout its history, the current warming is happening at a rate not seen in the past 10,000 years. We know this is true thanks to an overwhelming body of evidence that begins with temperature measurements taken at weather stations and on ships starting in the mid-1800s. But now we've been able to track surface temperatures with satellites, and we look for clues about climate change in geologic records. And together, all this data tells the same story. Our planet is getting warmer. Average global temperatures have increased 2.2 degrees Fahrenheit since 1880, with the greatest changes happening in the late 20th century. Land areas have warmed up more than the sea surface, and the Arctic has warmed up the most by 4 degrees Fahrenheit just since the 1960s. Temperature extremes have also shifted. In the United States, daily record highs outnumber record lows 2 to 1. Climate change is real. What we're experiencing with climate change today, however, is far different than warming or cooling humanity has ever seen, and in rate and in scale. Climate experts state our present climate change is occurring at 20 to 50 times faster than the most rapid climate change in events in Earth's history. But there's nothing political about our reality. Temperatures are rising at an alarming rate, and as a result, the Earth's systems that we've come to rely on from everything from agriculture to transportation is shifting in a costly, life-threatening, and global way. The good news is it's entirely within our control to phase out these fossil fuels and avoid the most devastating impacts of unchecked climate change. Hey, we don't have to be the dinosaurs, and we definitely should stop burning them. Today on Building Sustainably, I'm joined by Kathy Kuntz. Kathy has led the Wisconsin's Focus on Energy program, as well as other climate-focused programs, before becoming the director of the Dane County Office of Energy and Climate Change, which is designing and implementing initiatives, especially collaborative efforts, that accelerate change and yield substantive results. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
So, Kathy, please share a little bit about, you know, your background and how you initially got involved with the Dane County Office of Energy and Climate Change.
Yes, certainly. Thanks. So I have about 30 years of experience in energy efficiency, renewable energy, and climate action. I was part of the original team that launched Wisconsin's Focus on Energy program, so created the statewide program. And in my time with Focus, I was involved in the residential sector, the business sector, the renewables. I've sort of have touched all of those pieces. Then I spent about a decade really, really obsessed with human behavior, because my sense is at the end of the day, we have to motivate humans to make better choices. And so yes. I led a nonprofit, Cool Choices, where we really looked at that. And while I was still there, I started working as part of the volunteer network. So Dane County, starting in 2017, assembled a pretty amazing team to create a climate action plan, a countywide climate action plan. And it included a bunch of working groups of subject matter experts. And so I was a volunteer in the process, and then really got hooked into, hey, my county is serious about doing this in ways that are going to really work. And I joined the office, it's just a little bit under 3 years ago, and now I'm directing the office. And really, our quest is to implement the climate action plan was issued in 2020. We have a plan for cutting emissions in half countywide. And, you know, my job is to make that happen.
So we're really looking at it as a county level. And mm-hmm. Are you able to look at maybe taking this template and moving it to other counties within Wisconsin? Is this a pilot program, Kathy, or how does this work with exclusive to Dane County?
Yeah, so really local governments, cities and counties across Wisconsin are developing climate action plans. And everyone's plan will be a little bit different because everyone has a different mix of industry. And, you know, one of the things that's unique about Dane County is we have a fairly significant amount of natural and agricultural land compared to a lot of other counties with our kind of population, you know, so we're each a little bit different. We do, I would say that we do work collaboratively with cities and counties across the state. We actually help form a coalition where we're all sort of, you know, trying to align things, because we know that for like builders who build in multiple counties, it would be useful if we were all singing from the same songbook.
Right, right. That would help a ton. And especially for us, as we've, because we've made a conscious effort, and we're both in the Madison and the Milwaukee market. We've made a conscious effort to build more homes to the U.S. Department of Energy's Zero Energy Ready Home Standard and the EPA's program, which has been around for quite some time, the Energy Star program. And we really pushed more into the Zero Energy Ready Home over the past few years. You know, what do you see as a realistic path for housing towards future decarbonization?
Yeah, so the first, I'll say that the work you're doing with DOE's Zero Energy Ready program is incredibly important. It's really exciting for me to hear that you see that becoming potentially a standard feature of your homes going forward. When we talk about deep decarbonization, when we talk about how we cut emissions in half, there are essentially three big strategies under that. The first is efficiency. You know, we don't want to waste things. If you're wasting energy, you didn't need to mine it and transport it and all of that. What you're doing with Energy Star and Net Zero Energy is fundamentally reducing that energy usage in that home. And I, for listeners who don't know, so I've been around this stuff a long time, I can tell you Wisconsin builders are some of the most efficient builders in the United States, that more times than I can count, I've been in meetings where DOE and EPA people are like, we don't even know how your guys do it. They're just doing things that we didn't, you know, because, and it's not about mandates. It's about the quality of the people in this industry and what they care about. So, okay, that's the first piece, energy efficiency. The second piece is we need clean energy sources. We need to not get our energy by burning fossil fuels. And mostly for buildings, that's going to be about electricity. So the second piece of this is really going to be getting that clean electricity. And then the third piece is transitioning to all electric buildings. So you know, what part of what we see happening in the next 10 to 15 years is more and more new homes are going to be all electric, you know, and you've been a leader on this. You know, we've got a local example here in Dane County of a homeowner who's working with you on a brand new all electric home that focuses profiling, and we're sharing those stories, and because it helps people understand what's coming in the future. And, you know, the builders who can build to that future are going to have an advantage in the market, because more and more consumers are going to want it.
And the consumers are going to have that advantage because they're getting an advanced code built home. So like today's code in the state of Wisconsin for the energy code is 2009, and building to Zero Energy or even Energy Star is 2018-2021. So significant gap between the two different energy codes just by years. And to your point about electrification, you know, the biggest challenge has been for us in cold climates has been really the heat pumps. But companies like Mitsubishi and other companies have made some really dramatic changes in their equipment that reduces the concerns that we have in a cold climate with heat pumps. And we're looking forward to really kind of monitoring this with our customer that's in Fitchburg in Madison. Yeah. Or in the Madison area in Fitchburg, and really kind of see how that performs, the comfort level. We're real excited about it too, Kathy.
So the thing I would add there is because the new homes you're building are really efficient, they're better candidates for heat pumps than maybe some of our older homes that are draftier, where, you know, so we do see these transitions happening first in new construction, and then they'll kind of carry over.
Yeah. Yep. And it's really, and you hit on it earlier, it's really focusing on reducing consumption. We want to reduce that consumption in the home, that energy draw, And if we can continue to focus on reducing that energy draw by building more tighter homes, more energy efficient insulation packages and such, using really looking at the home as an entire system of operating unit, we can mitigate those concerns that have historically been with electrification, heating. And these units are super efficient too. So that's another thing to kind of get around. When people think about electric heat, they think about higher bills, but really these are, you know, 300% efficient, three to one ratio of terms of heat energy put out versus the energy required to do it. So it's incredible how well that technology has advanced. So would you talk more about the importance of, I know you got a partnership with the utilities, right? And that's been part of what Focus on Energy has been doing. So talk about that partnering with the utilities and the other kind of sustainability initiatives that are happening in Dane County.
Yeah. So partnerships are really important to us. You know, I talked about those kind of three strategies. The utilities are the only ones who can deliver at scale that clean electricity. You know, they've got to transition from coal and natural gas plants. Yes. So they're a critical partner for us. And they were, you know, all of our utilities in Wisconsin are committing to a path to clean electricity, and they're showing real leadership in all of this. So we've been working closely with them on that piece of it. We also at the same time work really closely with local units of government. So all the cities, towns, and villages in the county, in terms of how they're thinking about these things, where we can provide technical support to them. We work with the school districts, particularly local governments and school districts can lead by example for local households. So if your local school has solar on it, one of the things you might notice in some of those neighborhoods is that houses around a school with solar are more likely to have solar on them. We talk about how solar is contagious. People can see it, and they start to ask questions, and it seems more accessible, you know. And finally, you know, it's really important to us to partner with businesses and nonprofits too. So I spend a fair amount of time talking to, I mean, we talked a little bit about heat pumps. I've been talking a lot this year to people in the heating and cooling industry to understand what they think the barriers are and how we can help remove those barriers. How do we help make things happen? And you know, we talk to architects and engineers about commercial buildings. It's part of our job is to sort of, I think, seed people's imaginations about what the future can be in this. You know, it's that help them see what's coming and encourage them to get ready for it.
Yeah, we got to paint that picture effectively for people to really see it and understand that they can actually not only impact in a positive way, a decarbonization plan, but they could benefit economically from it through reduced total cost of home ownership.
Exactly. And if you're delivering a service to businesses or homeowners, you're helping them lower their bills and be more comfortable, they're going to be delighted with you and talk about you. You know, there's also, I think what we're seeing is industry leaders are recognizing that by being at the front of the kind of clean energy transition, they can build customer loyalty and word of mouth in this too.
So we talked about solar. We talked about trying to get that out more in the open so people can see it. And it's funny. My family and I, we took a vacation in Maine. We went to Acadia National Park and we drove through a lot of areas of Maine as we came back down into Portland. And the solar farms out there were very visible. They were huge, the size of football fields, and they were in a variety of different areas off the highway. And we saw it on homes, you saw it on businesses. I mean, that visual that you can see when you can actually drive by and see these large collectors, it really does kind of increase this level of motivation to explore more about it. How significant of an impact has the increase in renewable energy, you know, like solar, been both on new construction and existing buildings in the time that you've been in this field?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, when I started in this, there were, you know, maybe a handful of Dane County's oldest solar installation is maybe 2005 at the Alliant Energy Center. And, you know, when the county did that installation, it was an experiment kind of thing. You know, nobody had done these things. Focus on Energy did an analysis last year of rooftop solar in Wisconsin. And Dane County has more solar than anywhere else in the state.
I believe that.
And, you know, part of it is that contagion that if you get an installation in your neighborhood, other people, we have solar on our house. I remember when we first got solar, people would like stop when they were walking by with their dog or something. And if I was weeding a flower garden, they'd come over and go, "Hey, I have some questions about your solar." And, you know, because whenever something is that new, you don't necessarily have resources. You know, you can't call your brother and go, "Hey, when you replaced your solar, who did you use?" It's trickier and it's visible. So it's, you know, we're seeing, I think, and, you know, I would be interested in your thoughts about, I'm hearing that more and more builders are thinking about solar ready for homes and also EV charging ready for those homes. You know, that there's a little bit of wiring to do up front that can help make those things happen. If the homeowner can't do it immediately, they might be able to do it down the road. You know,
Yeah. Like you said, EV ready. I mean, we put that in the home that I built back in 2016. And so it's a thicker cable. So it's, it's something that it's more cost effective to get it, just rough it in at the build than it is to try to pull that wire later. But there's those opportunities. The solar ready program obviously sets consumers up for a future solar array on a specific segment of the roof that's designed specifically to the orientation and such. And so can you talk about the experience of influencing consumers, businesses, and communities? I mean, you talked about just, obviously having it on your home and striking up conversations as people are walking by. And I have solar in my home, and I've had those conversations with neighbors as well. But just how we influence the consumers, businesses, and communities to, you know, adopt these sustainable practices and technologies, and what have you found effective?
Yeah, it's a terrific question. So I think the thing that maybe the context to say first is that in my experience, everyone wants to do the right thing. Okay. People want to make good. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, "I hope I can create a lot of pollution today."
Of course.
You know, but we're all really busy. We've got a million things going on and a million sources of information. So if we want people to make sustainable choices, we really have to make it easy for them to do that. And I think when I think about making it easy, there's sort of two parts of that. The first part is giving them some evidence that other folks are doing this. You know, it's scary to be the first one. So one of the things we do a lot in our office is talk about the leadership we see across Dane County. So we have a climate champions program where we recognize businesses who are cutting their energy use or converting their fleet or reducing their waste. You know, we've got all these categories. And what we see is as we recognize entities, other entities go, "Oh, I can do that. Hey, Kathy, I'm doing this. Can I get recognition now?"
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's we're making it easier because the teams who want to do the right thing inside those organizations don't have to be the first ones. They can say, "Hey, look, this is what American Family is doing, or this is what Epic's doing. We could follow that lead." So we're giving them that sort of social proof, which is really important. The other thing is we just need to fundamentally make it easy. Like when we have zoning rules or something else that makes it hard for people to do the right thing, we need to identify that and fix it. And that's part of the work we do with local governments, is really understanding, okay, what's the barrier? You know, one of the, again, on the commercial side, we have a property assessed clean energy program that can help business owners finance energy efficiency upgrades. That's about making it easier, because a business owner might say, "Yeah, but I don't have the upfront capital." We need more, so there are some green mortgage tools that are comparable on the homeowner side, but they're not readily available to lots of folks. We're trying to figure out how do we make those tools more available so someone can refinance their house to put solar on the roof more easily, kind of thing. But it's that how do we make it easy piece that's really fundamentally important, because people want to do the right things. But if you have to do 6 months of research on your own to do this, only a tiny, tiny percentage of folks have that capacity to do that on their own.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up the zoning concept, because I think sometimes when the way neighborhoods lay out, sometimes very difficult to effectively get solar on a home without changing the structure of the home or without changing the orientation. And that is a big part of really building communities, sustainable communities, is really making sure that we're giving credence in the design to the orientation mm-hmm. of how to capture the most solar opportunities for our homeowners. And also, too, recognizing that, hey, it's okay to have solar on the front of a home. You know, that's some of the impediments that we find from people is like, well, wait, no, that's an architectural control issue. We don't want that on the front of the homes. Well, you know what? In order for us to harness the energy, sometimes that has to happen. Mm-hmm. And to your point, as people see it more, they get more comfortable with it. What do you see are the bigger opportunities to improve sustainability in Dane County and our state, great state of Wisconsin, just in general? What are those opportunities that your group sees?
So, you know, our biggest, after all of this time, and we've had energy efficiency initiatives in Wisconsin for 40 years now, our biggest opportunities are still energy efficiency. You know, there, and I think part of it is that over time, we think we are done with this. You know, I replaced my incandescent light bulbs with CFLs, so I'm done, but I'm not done, because now there are LEDs and they're even more efficient, and they won't have some of those annoying features that some of your compact fluorescents might have. You know, their right. heat pumps are going to be more efficient than our high efficiency furnaces and air conditioners. And so there's also, and particularly, I think a huge opportunity for us is on the transportation side. Because while we've for a long time talked to people about how setting your thermostat and turning off your lights and all these things you can do at home can cut your energy usage, we haven't done very much to talk to people about idling their cars or the speed they're driving or tire pressure, or there's just a lot of simple things that can improve. I mean, collectively, it might improve your fuel economy by 20%. You know, when mm-hmm. gas prices are $4, that's material, yeah. you know? Yeah. And so we've got to kind of come back to that. Hey, there's stuff we all can do. You know, there's easy things to do. The other big opportunity, of course, forward is going to be all of this electrification, both of our vehicles and of our buildings. And, you know, again, I think that's going to happen a little faster in new construction, but it's going to take a while because we're going to need folks doing that and people, just as you said, watching those first ones and making sure, yep, this all worked just fine. Let's do some more. And, you know, it's going to, nobody wants someone to have a home in Wisconsin where they're not comfortable in on a cold winter day. You know, none of us want that to happen. So we've just got to figure out how to do this right. And that's going to take a little time.
Mm-hmm. But again, with the advancement of the cold climate technology on the heat pump side, and just the fact that we can demonstrate that we yes. can build, you know, fairly pretty tight homes and still bring in enough fresh air to make them comfortable. Mm-hmm. I think we're a lot closer than what the general population feels, because they're doing this stuff in Canada.
Right. Exactly. I think we're close too. I just respect that there is always going to be caution in the industry that you don't want to deliver something that you don't feel good about. So that's going to take, you know, I know how hard I can push on this one. You know, it's a little bit that, and you know, for me coming out of focus, maybe just to say this again, you know, Focus on Energy delivers efficiency to homeowners and businesses through the private market. It's builders and heating contractors and engineers who are the ones who deliver those products to the end market. And so I bring that bias to Dane County that the work we're trying to do, we can only do in conjunction with private partners. And so it's really important to me to like have conversations with private entities about what's working and how do we make it easier for you to get more people making the right choices. Cause you know, in that moment when a potential homeowner is deciding about their new house or a consumer is replacing a furnace, it's a contractor who's there with them, not me.
Mm-hmm. In what ways do you or can we engage and educate community on Dane County's climate action goals? How do we share with others your mission, what you're doing?
Yeah, so we do a lot of this in partnership with groups. You know, we certainly do a lot of public talks. The county exec Joe Parisi talks about climate a lot when he's meeting with local governments or business groups. We have a website, daneclimateaction.org. We do social media, a newsletter. We also, though, we have a lot of partnerships in the faith community where we move information out through their networks of stewardship teams and things. And so, you know, we're always thinking about who else is having these conversations that we can help them have more information about those conversations. So outreach is a huge piece of what we're always doing. Yeah.
So Kathy, as we wrap this up, how can other community members and businesses get involved and help? What can we do to help support this effort?
So certainly I encourage people to visit our website, to sign up for our newsletter. I also always want to do a plug for the Climate Champion Program, because you probably know a business that is doing innovative things that we should recognize as a champion. So nudge them to apply or nominate them. That's always a good thing to do. And then finally, I think, you know, particularly in your audience, there are folks who are maybe thinking, well, this is an issue she didn't talk about that I think is really important, or this is an angle I'd like to know more what they're doing. And people should feel free to reach out to me. I have conversations all the time with folks who are like, hey, what are you going to do about this part of the climate action plan? Or what's the plan here? And, you know, that's how we know what resonates with people. So I welcome those conversations. So give me a shout.
Well, Kathy, this has been great. I want to thank you again for your time today. Kathy Kuntz with the Dane County Office of Energy and Climate Change. We will have all the links in the podcast for our listeners to visit your site, hopefully sign up for your newsletter. But this has been very educational, Kathy, and we're happy to continue to partner in any way that we can, not only in our industry, but with our local communities to help support this effort with you all.
Thanks so much. We appreciate your active engagement toward those net zero energy homes.
All right, Kathy. Thanks again, and we really appreciate the information.
Thanks.